Good morning, church family. There are 4,200 religions in the world, but there is only one empty tomb. There is only one man who conquered sin, death, and hell forever. And there is only one way to heaven. That is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. May we offer our commitment to honor you, O Lord. May you bless this church congregation in Glen today as we give you praise. May our sorrows and troubles be washed away. We ask you, Jesus, to give us strength. Now let us celebrate and joyous song in his holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Close to you are the ones that are telling you that who you are, and you just have to remember constantly, I am who he says I am. Yes. And it's not easy to do sometimes, and that's the devil working, but sometimes I just sing that song when we need it. Think of that song. You had a dream.
I love it.
Well, then you better sing aloud.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amen. Yeah.
dissolve like snow. The sun forbid to shine, the God who called me here below will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted, you were condemned, I'm alive and well, your Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. My joy to honor you.
you. In all I do, I honor you. You know, it was great to hear you reflecting back on a song when things are hard, because the devil's always trying to throw us off track. But we have a God that has given us promises that no one can take from us. We can even try hard to go down different paths and then come back to him, but he never changes. His salvation is forever. He holds on to us with a strong grip, and no one has the power to rip us out of his hands. I wanted to reflect back on Ephesians 1:13. In him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. There's no performances. There's nothing you can do to make that better. We are human beings forgiven for all of our sins. Not just some of them, not along the way, completely. The Holy Spirit is down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Wow, that's awesome.
As God does things, he does change things a little bit. Before I get into what I have outlined for the message, I'd like to give my appreciation to the worship team. Yes. Yes. Music is what touches my soul. And it talks about foundations and amazing grace. And you can build a building without a foundation, but you better pray the ground never shakes. And the hymn Amazing Grace, written by a former slave ship captain. Wow. So yeah, I appreciate you guys and the music. It does. That's what touches my soul. And the scriptures today, you'll find in John 15:1-17 and Galatians 5:22-23. And John 1-17, you're going to say, we just heard a sermon about that. We did. You're going to think, and it's going to be the same old sermon I heard before. Yeah, yes and no. Because I'm going to give you what, when it comes to mind when somebody says, well, now that you're a believer, you've got to bear fruit. I can tell you what it came to my mind growing up in the church was that you got to win souls. That was the criteria. That's what we were told in my generation. You got to win souls. The other one was, you don't dare miss a day without reading your Bible. You don't dare, or you're doomed. It's all about what Fred mentioned earlier, the performances. And the problem's not the right word. The issue is, if that's the criteria, you must win souls. What's the number? What's the number? What is the magic number that you're not going to get cut off? If Billy Graham's the standard, we got a problem. we're done here. Okay? But that's the problem with that kind of that's what I grew up with. You've got to win souls, and it got to the point where, during a revival service, and there's some people may have experienced this, there were people that would give up out of their pews and go somewhere and grab somebody's arm and literally try them, drag them to the altar. That's a fact. I'm not going to tell you what my reaction was, but that's what's happening. And if that's the criteria, it just can't be. That's not what God's looking for. That's not what it means. Sure, witnessing's a part of the formula. Don't get me wrong. And sometimes you even have to use words. But that's true. But there's no and it can't be a magic number. Works, if it's based on totally on external works, then the Pharisees are the most fruitful of all. Really? Come on. That would and they would be. They would be considered the most fruitful of all if works was the only thing. And so when that comes to mind, if you put that kind of pressure on yourself, anxiety, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And if I stand here before you and tell you I've read my Bible every single day, that would not be true. That's just the way it is. I can tell you this, not a day goes by that I don't pray. But that doesn't mean that that's... Or church attendance is another one. I grew up with the fact that if these doors were open, I had to be here. Or I was going to hell.
In a handbasket.
Huh? And don't get me wrong, assembling together is important. The Christian life's about relationships. It's all about relationships, your relationship to God and your relationship to other people. But you put that kind of pressure, bearing fruit. So what does that mean in reality? What kind of fruit do you need to bear? You'll find that part of it in Galatians 5. I just gave you the scripture. And those are the things that you need, that bearing fruit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance. And I think forbearance to me means patience, which I don't have a lot of. I mean, and I want God to give it to me, and I want to give it right now. But patience is, and those kinds of things, that's the bearing of fruit. And if a Christian life, if you grow spiritually, those things, the good works, will just come about naturally. You do what God tells you to do when it comes to that. There's no magic number. It can't be. Because if there is, the thief on the cross is a lie. And that can't be a lie. And so, the fruitful, what kind of bear fruit? Those are the fruits that you need that bear fruit when you become a Christian. It's not about checking all the boxes. It just isn't. But that's the kind of pressure that I came up with. One time we sat through in a revival service in a camp meeting, 62 verses of Just As I Am. 2 o'clock in the morning, people are trying to drag you down to the altar. Because in their minds, they had to do this or they were going to go to hell. Seriously. You say that's ridiculous? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And yes, witnessing is important. No question about that. And in Scripture, the fruit is a metaphor used to describe the outward demonstration of one inward disposition. So, in a mature Christian, those are the fruits that need to be brought to bear. And how do you get, and true, the Holy Spirit does live within you if you're a believer. Absolutely. And is there, when it comes to the pruning part of those scriptures, what does that mean to you? Is there something in your life that needs to be pruned? Not cast into the fire, but pruned. Something. Whatever that is. I remember my mom telling me this story. She never figured out why. One thing she loved to do was dance. Loved to dance. But back then, dancing isn't what you perceive. You go someplace now and do it. Back then it was. And she says, I love to dance. I don't know why God asked me to give that up. She never was told. She just did it. Whatever the reason, don't know, but she was obedient. If there's something in your life, the pruning of the branches, even if you're bearing fruit, something in your life that needs to be pruned away. That's between you and God. Totally. And it's something else to be realized, but bearing fruit does not come by your willpower. You can't do it on your own. Jesus said you can't do it on your own. It's not willpower that does this. You have to have the Holy Spirit. With me, the Holy Spirit is patience and self-control. Those are the things that everybody has their different struggles with these. Don't get me wrong. It happens. And so you can't do it under your own willpower. When we're given the opportunity, yes, we should witness. When you're given the opportunity, like I said, sometimes you have to use words that somebody asked you. You know, come up to you and say, whatever you have, I want it. Whatever it is. If you live your life that way, if you're living your life that way, that's your witness. And it may not be your job to lead that certain person to Christ. What your job is, if that's considered the job, is to plant the seed. Somebody else may harvest it. How dare they get saved without me? Well, I mean, it happens. It happens. And so those are the fruits. And you, the pressure of performance, my friend mentioned it. How do you know that? Performances. There are no performances. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less. And that's not possible. And so don't put that pressure on yourself. Don't do that. Just don't. Because if you think that you, based on numbers, criteria, God, that's setting yourself up for failure. And the God that I serve does not set people up for failure. It just doesn't. However, his idea of success is different than ours by a long shot. The perfect example is Isaiah. Let's see. You're going to go preach. Nobody's going to listen to you. Things are going to get worse instead of better. And in the end, they're going to saw you in half. What a great time that's going to be. All right, his idea of success is not ours. And so don't that pressure on, especially on new believers, that kind of pressure. And the love, you know, if you remember passages, most everybody here, that Jesus sent out the disciples. They'll know you're my disciple by what? By your love. Casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, that's all good stuff. But that's not it. You're quicker to forgive. That's a criteria. Everybody seems to, we recite the Lord's Prayer, but we don't go to the next verse where it says, if you don't forgive others, the Father will not forgive you. That's a big deal. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And so you're quicker to forgive. It's easier to love. Not everybody's easy to love. Okay, let's get real here. It just isn't. Okay? That's a fact. It's not easy. There's some people that's not easy. Not meant to be easy. And so, those, but the love is the criteria. That's how they'll know that you are Christians, by your love. Easier to forgive. You have forbearance, self-control. There's a biggie. My mother always told me, never miss an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. Because I have, you know, emotions have a habit of, yeah, and self-control. Patience. I don't have a lot of, I don't. I'd rather have God tell me no than to wait. I'd rather him just to come out and say no. Glenn, the answer is no. Well, you're just going to have to wait. I don't like that. I just don't. And maybe some of you have that gift that patience is your deal. I envy you in that regard. I was not given that gift yet. I'm working on it, okay? I'm in progress with that patience thing. But that's the message I came up with, that you have to bear fruit, you have to have converts, you have to lead people to Christ, so many. Pray every day. You have to be in church every single time the doors are open. It's important. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. That's what it says. We're here to assemble ourselves to encourage one another, uphold one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens. Isn't that what it says? That's what mine says. You don't have to do this all yourself. God does not call you to do this completely alone. Okay? You have the other Christians, other people, other than the Holy Spirit, certainly. Okay? And so that's my take on the bearing of the fruit. That's my take. Whether you agree with it, that's up to you. I was in the church before I was born. Went to the Nazarene College, for heaven's sakes. Yeah. And so, but that's the pressure that we were under, that I felt like, man, I'm doomed here. And God did not give you the spirit of fear. Does not give you the spirit of fear. And I'll give you my opinion on this, and I'll shut up. You know, I have a certain song play that Matt will play for you in a minute, but I think fear, in my opinion, is the greatest robber of Christian joy. I believe that with every fiber of my being. At least that's my experience. That is, yeah, fear is something like, are you fearful? You know. And we're the generation, oops, of, we have a habit of this. What have you done for me lately? And if you can, I would encourage you to do this. Write down, every time God answers one of your prayers or blesses you with something, write it down and put a date down. So when circumstances come in your life and you say, man alive, is he going to be able to help me? Of course he is. I think about the foundation, the song of the spiritual team about foundation, how firm a foundation, old hymn of the church, when the line goes, that soul though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. Ever. You can believe that. That's one of the greatest promises in my mind that God's ever given us.
Some say that this world we're living in was God's greatest creation of all, but then again, some say that the moon and stars above was God's greatest expression of his amazing love. I must agree that the things that we see in this world are full of beauty. We have been so blessed. The majesty of mountains, the peaceful streams and fountains. Oh, but that wasn't God at his best. Some say that when the Lord made man, that was his finest hour as God. But then again, some say that his best is yet to come. And when it comes to miracles, it's hard to pick just one. I'm just a man, that's all that I am. And I don't claim to know it all. Sometimes I have to guess. And there's a lot of things that I have never seen. Oh, but I have seen God at His best. When you see an old lost sinner dead in all his sin, give his heart to Jesus and see him born again. When you see
a message. I think Glenn shared a lot of stuff with us that's pretty powerful, and I think the thing for us as humans is that we want to follow rules, and so then we make up religion, because God's message is of grace and mercy, and there's a lot of resistance to grace and mercy because it's too simple, too good to be true. However, that is the message. It's Jesus and nothing else. So when the accuser accuses us of all the stuff we do, all I say is, you're exactly right, but I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. Because I don't have a defense. We are human. We do human things. We are saved. We are forgiven because God says we are, not because I feel like it. And that's a beautiful message. Thank you for talking about relationship with Jesus versus being religious. Religion is exhausting. So let yourself have that grace. Think about those good things as Shelley was sharing. What we fill ourselves with is who we become. And I've been very miserable chasing after news and all kinds of stuff, realizing in all reality, God has the power, I don't. So I stopped doing that, and guess what? Life seemed a lot better. Even in the midst of this disaster we're going through in our economy now, God is still good. So spend time with Jesus and know that He loves you 1,000 times 1,000. Don't listen to yourself or what Satan tries to tell you otherwise. Have a wonderful time. Thank you for this fellowship. Amen.